We have a special offer for first-time donors to Issues Etc. For any size gift during the months of January and February, we'll send you an autographed copy of Pastor Will Wheaton's new book, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety. Make your first-time contribution online at issuesetc.org or send your check to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234, and we'll send you an autographed copy of Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey.
And I'm going to be around for another year, so there's nothing abrupt that's going to happen. But now I have the awesome privilege on behalf of the elders to introduce our new lead pastor to you. It's Heather Larson and our new lead teaching pastor, Steve Carter. So these guys come up. I guess there's one more thing I should say. I don't know if you've noticed. We forget once in a while. She's a woman. Okay? Did I say that right? So when it came time to say, okay, is this the person that I'm actually going to recommend to the elders to be our lead pastor, I said, I wonder if the fact that she's a woman is going to be all right with our church. And because this is a deeply held value of our church, I just said, our church is going to celebrate that a woman gets to be in this role. So there we are.
That's Bill Hybels, founding and senior pastor of Willow Creek Community Church outside Chicago, announcing his co-ed replacements for the mega church. Willow Creek becomes the biggest church in America to appoint a female head pastor, Heather Larson. Now, they've had female pastors before, as early as the 1990s, when, well, for reasons that will become apparent here, they went from having only male pastors to having female pastors. But this is another first for this very influential megachurch in the United States. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about Willow Creek's first new co-ed pastors with Pastor Chris Roseboro, Fighting for the Faith, for the first half hour or so of the program. Then we'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson on Lydia in Acts chapter 16. And we'll round off in the second hour of the program with a conversation with Dr. Alvin Schmidt, Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College, on the very widespread despising of Western culture. We are told that Western civilization, Western culture, is the problem, not the solution, that it has been so strongly influenced by things like Christianity that have brought about everything negative in the world today, practically. So we'll talk about whether or not Western civilization is a blessing or a curse with Dr. Alvin Schmidt. Feel free to join us with questions or comments over the course of the next 2 hours. You can send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or use our Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about Willow Creek's new co-ed pastors, Pastor Chris Roseboro, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
When Bill Hybels founded Willow Creek Church, named for, I believe, the movie theater where they first began to meet, it was kind of youth group become church, later to become mega church. When he founded it 42 years ago, was the broader church culture ready for female pastors?
No, they were not. There was an unbroken, almost 2 millennia long train of only male pastors in the church. And the reason for that is quite simple, is because God's word explicitly teaches that word and sacrament ministry is for men only. Now, that does not mean that God doesn't give gifts to women or that they cannot be a benefit to the church or to Christians at large, but the role of pastor is reserved explicitly for men who are the husband of one wife. You know, the list goes on and on. You know, read the pastoral epistles. And so the broader church culture back in, you know, 42 years ago, they were a lot more biblical in their approach to things, and recognized that the clear teaching of Scripture in the pastoral epistles precluded women from holding that office.
So what's, we can get into some intermediate steps here in a moment, but kind of big picture, what's changed that Bill Hybels, upon his retirement, has, it sounds like, practically handpicked his successor in Heather Larson to be his successor as lead pastor of Willow Creek? Those are some big reins to hand over, and he's handing them over to a woman as pastor.
Yeah, so Willow Creek had a crisis of conscience as the broader American culture drifted and was heavily influenced by American feminism, which wasn't satisfied merely to make it so that women could vote and have jobs and things like that. But militant American feminism has had a major impact in the culture at large, and there were very strong demands, not that long ago, but several decades ago, and those demands continue that the church make it so that both men and women can be pastors. And Willow Creek is a church that is built off the idea of you've got to constantly be surveying the unchurched people in your vicinity and pretty much give them the messages that they want. And so in their sociological studies that they were performing and in their conversations with unchurched people over and again, one of the stumbling blocks to having a large church or for Christianity to grow that was coming up in their data was this idea that Christianity is patriarchal or male chauvinistic or even worse, misogynistic, that they have a hatred of women, which was part of the rhetoric of feminism that it, continues to this day. And Willow Creek at the time, back in the 90s, they had Dr. Belazikian, I think is how you pronounce his name, Dr. B, who oftentimes would, mentor Bill Hybels. And he sharpened his theological pencil and literally came out with a statement, if you would, something that looks like a biblical argument that opens up the door for women to become pastors. And that particular statement is kind of well known in the annals of American evangelicalism because it was a watershed document that a lot of churches that were part of the Willow Creek movement and were Willow Creek churches, doing this whole way of, the seeker-driven or attractional church adopted a similar stance. And so, yeah, I would argue for worse, not for better, for worse, evangelicalism, having been highly influenced by Hybels, has bought into this, and it makes logical sense that as he's ready to retire and hand the reins over, that he would be consistent with Willow Creek's now core values, which are different than when Willow Creek was founded.
It's interesting to note Belzikian's argument is, look, Paul speaks about women prophesying, and then he turns around in an utter contradiction. He says only a mental lapse could account for it, I think is what he said in his paper, appears to forbid women from serving in the pastoral office, which, of course, that had been the church's position, that women should not serve in the pastoral office. Belzikian says, okay, so because it's an apparent contradiction, let's just toss it out. And since Scripture has a lot of nice things to say about women in general, let's go with that rather than what appears to be kind of a mental lapse on the part of the apostle, a contradiction, poor guy. We don't know what he was trying to say. It looks like he's trying to forbid women from being pastors. But I summarize the argument in this way, Chris, and I wonder if I'm being too harsh. Their argument was, if you discount the passages that forbid women from the pastoral office, lo and behold, Scripture permits women to hold the pastoral office.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's just, your argument is not too harsh, and that's basically how sound biblical hermeneutics has to work. If you look at some of our historical guys who have taught hermeneutics, I think of Mark Serberg's grandfather out there at Fort Wayne. In the past, when you look at the books and the materials that they put forward, they would talk about the importance of having what is called a sedes doctrinae. when we're putting together a doctrine. In other words, a doctrine in Scripture has to be explicitly taught, and then there has to be a seat of the doctrine being the clearest text. So there's kind of a hierarchy in Scripture when we talk about doctrine. So the clearest passage on topic is the one that holds the center position, and everything else is interpreted according to the clear passages. And so that was our concept of what was called the Sedes Doctrinae. What Belzikian did is he literally took out the clearest passages and attributed them to, you know, some kind of a hiccup on Paul's part, and doesn't recognize that these are authoritative and the word of the Holy Spirit. These are inspired words by Paul. Take the clear passages out, and now all of a sudden it's kind of anything goes. But I would remind everybody that the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14, you know, every Pentecostal and charismatic will tell you, those are the texts, you know, those are the chapters that deal specifically with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which is Belzikian's argument. He argues from the gifts of the Spirit rather than from the clear text. But in the gifts of the Spirit text itself, the Apostle Paul ends his argument in this way, starting at verse 33, tail end of it. As in all the churches of the saints, the women should keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but should be in submission, as the Torah also says. If there is anything they desire to learn, let them ask their husbands at home. It is shameful for a woman to speak in church. And he goes on, or was it from you that the word of God came, or are you the only ones it has reached? If anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritual, he should acknowledge that the things I am writing to you are a command of the Lord. If anyone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. So the Apostle Paul literally ends his discussion of the spiritual gifts by saying women cannot exercise these gifts if they have them in the church, and he says, you have to acknowledge that what I'm saying is not from me, but an actual command from the Lord himself. I look at Belzikian's hermeneutic, and it's 100% backwards, upside down, and the only way you can arrive at it is by obliterating and undercutting the clearest text regarding who is to have the pastoral office and what the qualifications are for those fellows to be in that office.
The biggest irony is that I think Willow Creek has a fairly ironclad reputation among kind of casual observers of being a conservative evangelical church, but they, in this case and perhaps in others, have adopted classical liberal approach to Holy Scripture to come to a conclusion they probably were going to come to anyway.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I would argue that we've seen where this goes. When you open up the door to women in the pastoral office, as surely as day follows night, once they get into that position of power, using the exact same hermeneutical chicanery, they end up then opening up the door to to recognizing same-sex marriage and blessing homosexuals and things like this. It always seems to happen, and it in fact, I would say it's the next logical conclusion. As soon as you obliterate clear passages like this, you just apply that same technique now to what God says regarding human sexuality and what it means to not commit adultery. And now all of a sudden the church will bless these things. And I know people who've left the staff of Willow Creek and have left Willow Creek itself, and they would argue that the internal leadership group there is they're not conservative at all. They are quite social justice kind of liberal types, and their take on the change of hands is that this means that Willow Creek is going to begin to take a very noticeable turn to the left in order to kind of catch up with where the leadership team already is.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. We're talking about Willow Creek's new co-ed pastors, we've highlighted two things that we need to return to. One, we just spoke of, and that is an essentially low view of Scripture that's being used here in order to come to the conclusions you were already going to come to. But the other one mentioned earlier by Chris is the church allowing the culture to be the guiding star for where it goes. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. Stay tuned.
Are you a high schooler who enjoys theology? Do you know a high schooler who would make a good pastor or deaconess? Every summer, Concordia Theological Seminary offers programs for vocational discernment and theological education for high school students. Check out Christ Academy and Phoebe Academy this summer, June 17th through the 30th. Registrations open now. Email us at christacademy@ctsfw.edu or register online. Christ Academy at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, June 17th through the 30th.
Give your spouse the gift of time for Valentine's Day with a gift certificate from The Cleaning Authority. Call toll-free 1-866-827-0062 or visit thecleaningauthority.com. Forget the flowers, candy, and jewelry this year with a Valentine's Day gift certificate from our favorite cleaning service, The Cleaning Authority, 866-827-0062 or thecleaningauthority.com.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Memoria Press now offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
The prosperity gospel, godliness, Islam, abortion, religious truth claims, scientism, the centrality of justification. You can meet and hear some of your favorite guests teach on these topics at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. Collinsville is 15 miles east of St. Louis. Learn more at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 8th and 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. Folks, if you enjoy listening to Issues Etc., be sure to attend the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th, outside of St. Louis. It's the best of Issues Etc. topics and guests in 36 hours. Speakers include Hans Feeney, Hank Hanegraaff, Will Whedon, Scott Klusendorf, Craig Parton, Jonathan Fisk, and Angus Manoj. Early bird registration is $110. That covers 3 meals over the course of the conference. You'll find a conference schedule and registration information at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 8th and 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. We're talking about Willow Creek's new co-ed pastors. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest, host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Okay, Chris, you identified one of the big problems here, kind of, and it's not peculiar to Willow Creek, but it certainly is kind of baked into their cake by now, and that's a low view of Scripture, even though I'm sure they would tell you we have a very high view of Scripture. The other one is something you were talking about earlier, and that is the agenda is set by the winds of culture. Talk more about that.
Yeah, so this is actually one of the major tenets of the attractional church. At least that's how they call themselves now. Over the years we've heard about purpose-driven churches, seeker-driven churches. They don't like those terms anymore, so they call themselves an attractional church. And the basic fundamental step, or the big move before you plant a church and then as part of the ongoing regenerating of the church, is a constant communication via sociological study with those who are unchurched in your region. And so Willow Creek bought into this. You think of Saddleback and Rick Warren. He was also one of the major pioneers of this method. And Willow Creek has followed this to a T. They're very open about it. And that is, they're constantly basically doing these studies to see what it is that is keeping somebody who is not a Christian from attending church. The basic premise is, I hate to say it in these terms, but the basic premise behind this is the heresy known as Pelagianism, or at best, semi-Pelagianism. It's this understanding, this belief that somehow what we've got to do is we've got to get unbelievers to make decisions, regarding Jesus. And one of the primary things that people like Bill Hybels and Rick Warren and others basically believe is that the church itself creates obstacles for keeping people from coming and hearing about Jesus and making decisions for Jesus. And so they've purposely and intentionally set about to obliterate those obstacles in order to make the church attractive and something that that an unbeliever would be interested in kind of kicking the tires and seeing what it's about.
So this has put me in mind of something that I guess maybe also in the back of the minds of those who are leading, maybe even Bill Hybels himself. They got to know that their main competition isn't a little Lutheran church somewhere in Chicago or even a big Lutheran church somewhere in Chicago. They got to know that their main competition is either staying home on Sunday or something a little more lunatic fringe on the end of evangelicalism, where we should point out they've had female pastors forever.
Right. Yeah, this is true. I'm not exactly sure if they would consider it competition in the truest sense, because what they're always looking to do is to market themselves to a specific demographic profile. I think of Rick Warren in his book, The Purpose-Driven Church. I mean, he divulged what that profile looks like. And the fellow, they actually put a name to the fellow. His name is Saddleback Sam. And so the idea then is that Willow Creek does not, on purpose, try to be appealing to a broad swath of the suburban culture in the burbs of Chicago. Instead, they're trying to reach a particular person, and it may be a woman in her late 20s, early 30s, who likes Starbucks and drinks pumpkin spice lattes during the fall and has 2.5 children and is really looking for something spiritual but not religious, that that they could inculcate in their children a sense of right and wrong without any dogmatic approach to beliefs and things like this. That sounds pretty close to who they're trying to reach, and they make no bones about it. They're not trying to reach somebody who is over in the charismatic movement or somebody who is part of an ethnic church. And they would consider Lutheranism to be an ethnic type church, heavily influenced by the German culture and stuff like that. So they're not really trying to market to those people. They're looking for a particular person, and then they really, really keep hitting that person with marketing pieces in order to see if they'll come and darken the doors.
Another kind of peculiarity here, it's not completely unique, but it's somewhat peculiar, is that the team that they have chosen, while male and female, are not husband and wife. And a lot of times in evangelicalism, the female pastor happens to be the female pastor because she happens to be the pastor's wife.
Yeah, it is interesting, and I went through my archives, and I've reviewed sermons by both Carter and the new gal. And neither one of them can really preach well if exegesis is an important thing. They can hold the attention of an audience like you wouldn't believe. But yeah, I did find this kind of be an interesting, if you would, pairing it. But you'll note that she's really the lead pastor and he's the head teaching pastor. So if you were to kind of put this on a corporate hierarchy, my suspicion is that she would be in the CEO spot with the ability to teach when she wants to, but the main teaching job is still going to fall on Steve Carter.
So Willow Creek, I've often said their star has fallen a bit in terms of influence, but they still have tremendous, even on the decline, they still have amazing influence in American evangelicalism across denominational boundaries. There are churches in my Lutheran Church Missouri Synod who are permitted for some crazy reason to be members of the Willow Creek Association. How do you expect their influence to be felt and to have an effect on this issue in the Willow Creek Association?
You know, I think in the current makeup of the churches that are in the association, I don't think anyone's going to bat an eyelash at this. It's going to be kind of a wait and see to see in which direction Willow Creek goes after October and the handoff occurs. And it's important to note that Willow Creek historically was actually a key player in the emergent church movement and helped place, help put into the pastorship in Grand Rapids, Michigan, Rob Bell. And both of those kind of blew up in their face. And although they wanted to drift left with the emergent movement, as the movement itself took a hard turn to the left, Willow Creek corrected and moved just a little bit more to the right. And so the question is, where is the new leadership going to take Willow Creek? And if they are really going to be influenced by kind of left-leaning Chicago suburbanite political culture, that might cause them to do okay in the Chicago area, but it may not play well with many other Willow Creek Association churches that are in states that are more conservative. So if I had to guess, I would say the first 24 months after the leadership handoff is the time to see in which direction Willow Creek is heading, and that'll determine whether or not churches want to stay in the association or not. And if they start steering left or drifting left noticeably, that could cause people to drop out of the association.
But as we said here, Chris, in terms of the time frame over 42 years, Willow Creek has already drifted left, and no one seems to have noticed.
Yeah.
If you do it gradually enough, people kind of, they just don't take notice at all.
I agree. They've made a point of drifting left with the general culture itself. The question is, will they continue to drift at that same pace, or will they begin to outpace it? That's kind of the question. So I would say America as a whole is a much more liberal country than it was when I was growing up. And that is reflected in mainstream attractional evangelicalism. But the question then again is, at what pace are they going to continue to drift left? If they start outstripping the general culture, that could create problems.
Couple final questions. Are you saying, in effect, that this move, in your estimation, is both the fruit of their marketing research?
Oh yeah, it's the logical conclusion of their marketing research, and as their research was demanding this, that's how that was the pressure that was applied in order to come up with the clever twisting of scripture that they did to justify women pastors.
How would you respond to someone who says the church needs to ordain women in order to reach the lost?
That's ridiculous. I would basically argue the church belongs to Christ. It's not my church. It's not your church. It's not the culture's church. It's Christ's church, and Christ has revealed in his word very clearly that women are not to have the pastoral office, or are they permitted to teach in church. This is just how Christ has said it. And the reality of the situation is there's not a single person on planet Earth who doesn't go to church because churches have male pastors. That's not the reason. The reason why pagans don't come to church is because they're born dead in trespasses and sins. And having a male pastor isn't going to keep people away from hearing the gospel. They're already rebelling against God. And it's the preaching of the word, law and gospel, the proclamation of repentance and the forgiveness of sins that God uses as the means to resurrecting people and regenerating them and bringing them to penitent faith in Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. So the pagan who basically says, I'm not going to go to church because you don't have women pastors, you may as well say, the reason I'm not coming to church is because your church doesn't have these parties where everybody can get together and kind kind of do sexual things as they want to. That's ridiculous also. Both of those concepts are clearly condemned in Scripture as sin. So the idea here is that pagans don't come to church because they're pagans. That's the reason why they don't come to church, which is why we're told to go out and proclaim Christ and proclaim the gospel. It is through the casting of the net of God's word and the proclamation of law and gospel that God uses to draw people into the church. Not that we need to capitulate to the culture wants. We got to go out where the culture is and preach the word. And God himself, through the word, will make Christians. And when they're made Christians, then you bring them to church.
You were sidelined with the flu last week for some days. I'm assuming that you have plenty of stockpiled topics to discuss on Fighting for the Faith this week. What's up?
All right. So, today we're going to be checking in with Dr. Michael Brown, who is a well-known charismatic who put out a program yesterday basically claiming that the New Apostolic Reformation is, you know, kind of an Illuminati type conspiracy theory rather than a real thing. We're going to debunk that on our program today.
You can listen to Chris Roseborough and Fighting for the Faith in 90 minutes right after the live broadcast of Issues, Etc. at PirateChristian.com, PirateChristian.com. Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and he hosts a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, Pastor Tom Baker will be alongside. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson on Lydia in Acts chapter 16. Then in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., is Western culture, Western civilization, is it a blessing or a curse? Is it the problem at the root of all of our problems? Dr. Alvin Schmidt will be our guest. The religion of sex, the state of the church in Western society, defying the devil in international mission work. These are some of the issues addressed in our book of the month for February, The Gates of Hell, Confessing Christ in a Hostile World. It's edited by regular guest Dr. Scott Murray. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues, Etc. book of the month, The Gates of Hell.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Yes, there is a Messiah in Seattle. Messiah Lutheran Church and Concordia Lutheran School have served North Seattle for over 60 years, and we invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 8 and 10:45 with Bible study at 9:20. Messiah Seattle is proud to support Issues, Etc. To learn more, watch our adult information class videos online or on DVD. Our website is messiahseattle.org, 206-524-0024.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans in their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.